And so what I want to start talking about is how last Saturday we had a fantastic time. A group of men, about 20 of us, went to the Perth Men's Convention. And it was so good to be with 600 other men and to be able to sing such great songs of our faith in a massive place where all these other people are singing. It was really, really great. And we also had some great preaching from Pastor Mike Rater in terms of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And I just want to give it a plug for next year. You men, you missed out on something fantastic, so make sure you're there next year. And the women have their convention. Colin, here we go. Perth Women's Convention, 21st of October. All right, so sign up. Registrations are open. These are really great events where we can come and sing and have excellent teaching from God's Word. All right, the thing I want to highlight to you from the Perth Men's Convention was in the third session, the last session that Mike Rater brought to us, and it was from Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you these two verses, Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. And he said, this is what Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I remember Mike bringing that out very powerfully about one day Jesus having to send away from him, away from heaven, people who we would call false believers that were never really saved. The thing, though, I want to highlight to you is something else that he mentioned, and it went into my heart and mind, and I just couldn't let go of it. And it was a little phrase, on that day. On that day. That's an incredible day for us to be thinking about. We were looking at mission this whole month. I can't think of any phrase that would help me more than being on mission, living a life pleasing to Christ, and that great truth, on that day. On that day should shape our life as we think about that special day, that incredible day, the day of Jesus. And I want to highlight a few things to you. And Mike Rater brought this out, and I was aware of this. Great Christian leader, Martin Luther, in the 1500s, the great reformer, who rediscovered the gospel and shared it with Europe, a darkened Europe. He said these words, there are just 2 days on my calendar, this day and that day. What do you think of that? This day and that day. In other words, he allowed that day to shape this day. And he lived during a really horrific time. He was being pursued. People were trying to kill him as he was trying to share the gospel. He was trying to get the Bible into the language of the people. But because of that day, he did everything he could to make Europe come alive for Jesus because of that day. That's how it's meant to be for us. I wonder if you even think about this day. What day are we talking about? The day when we get to see Jesus, the awesome Lord Jesus, King of Glory. And we see him and he's going to judge us. And if we haven't got right with him, he'll judge us for our sins. And if we have got right with him, he's going to we have to give an account of our life before him. This is the day. This is a day that we're meant to be thinking about every day we live on earth, that we live our life purposefully for Jesus, for God the Father. We're to live in the present, in the light of being in his presence one day. And as I share this, I want to confess to you that I'm not a person who does this as often as I would like. And I pick this up with us all. You know, so often we get distracted and we get caught up with all the things around us and we don't think too much about that day. Until we hit the age of 94 like Bob or 96 like Mary and you start thinking about that day all the time because you're getting closer. But Bob, we should be thinking about this when we're a 1 day old Christian. When we're a 10 day old Christian. When we're a 20 year old Christian. We're meant to be thinking about that day. That day is so important. Let me consider the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at how he lived his life. Second part of verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, second part of verse 6 to verse 8. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing or loved his appearing. You notice the Apostle Paul? Where are his eyes as he lived this life? On that day. On seeing Jesus and having that crown of righteousness given to him by the Lord. That's the thing that kept him running the race. And of course, the greatest example of all is our Lord Jesus. And one of my favourite verses is in the book of Hebrews, which we'll be reading on Saturday night. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about running the race. And then verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What caused Jesus to live this perfect life he did, to yield his life up for us? It was because of that day. The day of one day going home to heaven, to be at the Father's right hand. There was a joy in Jesus as he anticipated that day, also knowing full well that what he did for us on the cross would mean that we could join him if we would love him and trust in him. It's the forward focus that caused Jesus to keep on that right track all his days. So on this final Sunday morning of our mission month, I want us to think about this day. And I believe this will truly help us to be, first of all, saved, and also that we'd be living our life well for Christ. I'd like us to consider three things because of that day: salvation, sanctification, and serving. So let's begin with salvation. And let me spend a little bit of time looking more closely to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to be turning to Matthew chapter 7, and I'll be looking at the last verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is a fantastic passage of Scripture. Three chapters, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. We begin with Jesus teaching his disciples about the Beatitudes and about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then he talks to them about gracious, godly behaviour, like turning the other cheek, loving your enemies. And then he talks about genuine religious service, what it looks like to give and what it looks like to pray and fast, not drawing attention to yourself, but giving glory to God. And he talks about not worrying and not judging, keep on praying, all these great things. And then he comes to the very end, and we can picture by this stage there's a whole crowd around Jesus and his disciples. They're all listening in. And Jesus must have looked at all the crowd around him. And he finishes with these incredibly important things. There are two ways to life. Only two. So I'm going to read some of this to you. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it." Two roads to life. Jesus is saying to all the crowd, which road are you on? The narrow road of Christ or the broad road of the world? Then he speaks about two trees. I'm going to just pick up verses 16 and 17. "You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit." Jesus wants us to answer these questions. What kind of tree are you? Are you a good tree or a bad tree? Are you a good tree bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you a bad tree bearing the characteristics of your sinful nature? And then Jesus hones in upon an area that you would not expect. He hones in actually on the church. And he begins to give this thought that in the church, there are two kinds of people. Even in church, there is the true believer and the false believer. Let's have a look at these really important words. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So who is Jesus speaking about who will not enter? And they say, Lord, Lord. Well, I know that an agnostic Aussie won't be saying, Lord, Lord, nor a heathen humanist. But these are the kind of people that you find in church who are familiar with the Christian faith, who sing songs of praise to Jesus even, but they're not there yet. And Jesus is looking at this group of people within what we call the church. And he says that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven because they haven't done the will of my Father who is in heaven. And the next two verses are really good because they help us understand what the will of the Father is. So let me read them now. Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. And notice the phrase, on that day. Verse 22. Many will say to me, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow, they say, Lord, Lord. They do Christian activity. They're caught up in church stuff. But Jesus will say to them, depart from me. And he will say to them on that day those words because of two things. They never knew Jesus personally. And they never followed him as their Lord. And I tell you what, church can be full of people who are like that, who are just doing their own thing. Following the custom, following the culture. They don't know Jesus personally. They're only acquainted with him. And they're really living their own life, doing their own thing, not following Jesus. And on that day, it will be revealed. And Jesus shares these things with us because he is the one, painfully, who will have to sit upon the throne and make a judgment call upon all of us. And he knows, and we should know, if we're his or not. And I want to say it like this. On that day, before the great king, we will be condemned before him in his holiness because we have sinned. We've all fallen short of God. And it doesn't matter how many times we went to church, how many times we sang Jesus is Lord, how many times we did all sorts of churchy things. We will be condemned for the sins that we have committed unless we have come to know Jesus personally. And unless we have committed our life to follow him. And when we mess up, we get back up, we ask for his forgiveness, and we give our life afresh to him. That's the genuine Christian. They're the ones who'll be welcomed into heaven. It's real. They know Jesus personally. So when I think about this day, on that day, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of that day is I want to make sure I'm right with Jesus. And the three C words you might hear me share are these three C words. We must come to Jesus by faith. We must call upon him to save me, a sinner. And we must commit our life to follow him. On that day, stirs my soul. These verses shake me to the core. Being a preacher doesn't save me. I remember in the days of the great revivals in England, there were so many preachers who actually got converted as well. They're just doing the thing. They're just doing the job, but unsaved. How we need to make sure we're saved. That day should drive you to even wrestle with the Lord. Am I yours or not? That's how it should be. First point on that day. The next thing, when you are saved, let's look at two other big things that this great day does in our life. And the next thing I want to mention is that day has everything that I need to help me live a life that is pleasing to Jesus, a sanctified life, a life set apart for him, a holy life. Do you know that? It's that day that really gets you fired up, growing in Christ and being a holy person for Him. You know why that is? Because when you think about that day, and one day coming before Jesus, and you are saved, would you not be thinking this? I don't want to feel ashamed when I come before Him. I don't want to feel like I've just completely wasted my life. No, that day gives me the fire to push through dominating sin, to get rid of all sorts of things that hold me back, and to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. That day. That's how it works. That's why the New Testament is so strong on this day. Living for the day. In our culture, we have learned to live only for the present. That's a devil thing. Making you only think about today. Jesus wants you to live for this day in the light of the great day. The great day. Alright, so I'm going to read to you now some verses, passages that mean a lot to me in my Christian journey. I won't make too much commentary, but the first one is 2 Peter chapter 1. And I just want to read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's holiness. There it is in a nutshell. That's how every Christian should be growing in this. But I want to read to you now verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's it. The rich welcome. See that? That's what the Apostle Peter's teaching. You're meant to be looking at that day, and you're meant to not just be thinking, oh, well, I hope I just cross over the line, you know, I fall over the line. No, I want a rich welcome. And that's because of that day I'm going to do everything I can to live a holy life for Jesus, to get rid of sin, to get rid of attitude and behaviour that's unfitting, and to have my life for Jesus. What causes you to do that? That day. Anticipating a rich welcome.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, all right, this is it, you know. Now we're going to look at another great passage of mine, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And the first verse, beautiful verse, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Isn't that a great verse? Down to verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. I never forget when I was a young Christian reading this and realising, eyes on Jesus, looking forward to the day. That has a purifying effect upon my life. It's going to help me be a pure and holy person. There it is, written in the Word. Anticipating that day, eyes on Jesus. So this is the way of growing in holiness. Have your eyes on Jesus, anticipate that day. That's it. As easy as that. Like our little motto in church is, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's everything. And the last point I want to bring up is serving. It's great that we are to live a sanctified life, but that day should help us, motivate us, not just to be holy, but to be full of work. Set apart for work. Serving. And one of the other great truths as I think about that day, found in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaking about end times, about His return, Jesus talks about the person who lives faithfully for Him, serving Him. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and also verse 23, Jesus says what? Well done, good and faithful servant. In anticipation of that, that should drive us to want to serve the Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to. We live in anticipation of hearing those wonderful words of the King who has saved my soul and washed me clean of all my dirt and looks at how I have lived for him and served him, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. We've been serving the Lord. That day should help you live a life with full service to him. And now I'm going to turn to our Bible reading and have a look at what Paul says specifically to Timothy. And I want to again just read to you verses 6 to 8. Halfway through verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read, "And the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved," or some versions, "who have longed for his appearing." So what I love about this section here is Paul is about to die, and he is saying to us all that the reason why he fought the good fight and why he finished the course, did the service that was required of him to do for Christ, and why he kept the faith, is because of eyes forward. I lived in anticipation of seeing Jesus and receiving the crown of righteousness. You think of all that Paul did. He should have quit so many times. There's so many hardships he went through. But because of that day, he kept serving, he kept preaching, he kept doing everything he could to build up the church. Because of that day. See how his whole life of service flowed from that day. That's why I want to emphasize this to you this morning. It means, I've been thinking about this for the past week after the First Men's Convention, and realize how lacking it can be because I just have my blinkers on, I'm just looking at all the things around, and how we need to look and behold what is to come. Yeah, the Apostle Paul could say in those words in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." But let me now just look at the few verses beforehand. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. And this is all about service. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom," look at that, on that day. It's there everywhere. Verse 2, "preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." This is what it means to serve. So we got, what are you going to say? You reckon this is only for Timothy, right? Only Timothy needs to do this. No one else needs to. Oh, it's only preachers and missionaries who do this. Hopefully you know that that instruction is able to fit and sit upon every Christian. Every Christian, in the light of the appearing of Christ, we are responsible for being faithful, serving the Lord with his word. And this goes two ways. One part of it is to be faithful, preaching the word, teaching the word, showing the word to those who aren't Christians, in the hope that they might be saved. But we're also to preach and teach each other, to build each other up in the word. That's the service that we are called to do. Do you know that? Not just a Sunday school teacher, not just a youth group leader. Every Christian is meant to know the word, and one of the great ways we serve each other is to give the word to each other as well as the word to the lost. Are you into it? When's the last time you shared with a brother or sister in Christ and used the word to encourage them and lift them up? And what about evangelism? When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody and you prayed for them? I know Charles Spurgeon, he had a pretty strong thing to say. He said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. That's such a big thing he said and so true. We're meant to be serving. In verse 5 we read about evangelism and other things. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. We don't think Timothy was an evangelist. But still do the work, Timothy. And fulfill your ministry, your calling. What's your spiritual gifts? Are you using them to serve the Lord, to build up his church, to bless his world? Are you sharing the gospel, doing the work of an evangelist in your little circle of friends and neighbours? Are you sharing Jesus with them? That's what it means to serve. As well as all sorts of other ways. Giving of our finances, giving of our time, being in helps, in administration. There's so many ways that we are to serve. But the thing is, the thing that gets us to serve the best is when we think about that day. It's that day that drives us to serve well. And to hear from Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, there's lots of things I can mention when I start thinking about service. But I've got to stop now and just mention one thing. A man who was an incredible man who served Jesus faithfully. His name was C.T. Studd. An Englishman, that's okay. Born to wealthy parents, he was very wealthy. He captained the English cricket team, the Poms. Wow. And he gave it all up because he was a Christian. And he decided not to live for fame and fortune. He decided to not to live in view of what his parents wanted him to do, to become rich and famous even more. He decided to give it all up to serve Jesus with all his heart. He even did mission work. And in the light of that great day, C.T. Studd wrote these words: "'Tis only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last." See how his focus was on that day. That caused him to turn away from the English captaincy and from all his fortune and to give his life for Jesus. That's what we need to hear and respond to. This is the day coming. I believe Jesus' return is so near. How we need to have our eyes on him, that we might be saved, that we might be sanctified, and we might be serving him. Praise the Lord for who he is, how he has saved us sinners. But may we live in the light of that day. And we're now going to sing together, "This Life I Live."
Thank you.
Just before I close in prayer, I know I'm coming up to the anniversary of when I almost went home to be with the Lord last year. And I'm going to just read to you as a benediction. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, Father, I thank you for so much for how, as we come together, as we look at your word this morning, and you know, in my own heart in the last week, that day has just become so big in my mind, and I'm so grateful to you for that. I'm so sorry, Lord, for how often we can live not thinking of that day, and we are caught up with so much stuff that's just of no purpose. I thank you for that glorious day. I thank you that in my own life I know that you will receive me because I have been saved and born of your Spirit. And I am so thankful for how you've done that. I pray for all of us that we would know that in our life, that we would really be there. If we're not pleased, would you help us to call on Jesus and make him personal to us? And thank you that all who come to him will never be cast away. Lord, help us in our lives. We all would know, Lord, if we are your children, that we don't live our lives that well at times. I just ask that that day would be something that you place in our mind that would really help us to take some big steps forward in living a life that is sanctified and that is a life of service to Jesus. Lord, please would you plant deep in our heart and mind the great day that's coming. Lord, it might be we die and we meet Jesus or Jesus returns. Please help us to be focused on that day. May you bless this word to us all, Lord, your word that you've given to me to tell others. Please would this word have impact upon us, to change us and transform us, to revive Bazo. Help us to be a church that is alive. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.